Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the X1 Bros. My name is X1 the Gamer. As always, I'm joined by Jordan the Man and Mr. McSpicy. And it's been a big week. First of all, last week was our 500th episode, and we gave away 6 hats during our members show and at the end of the podcast. And then we're giving away 6 hats to anybody who left comments over on YouTube, over on Apple Podcast reviews, and we did get a few, so thank you very much for that, and Spotify reviews, and inside Discord. Thank you very much, everybody who left reviews. We will be drawing, we put all the names into a hat, we'll be drawing them during the members show today. So stay tuned for after the show, the live show, the member show. If you don't know what the member show is, the members lounge, it's for our members, and it's exclusive. Each and every single week, it goes live right after this show where we just hang out. We talk directly with chat, and it's a blast. Also, if you haven't, go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Probably helps us the most. And then follow us over here on YouTube. We really appreciate it. And thank you guys for all the support. Also, I do want to shout out MMA Oracle. He DM'd us. He was our first. He's listened since episode 1.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And so MMA Oracle, shout out to you. Makana Royale. He's getting himself a hat, a sexy hat. He said he still has the OG. Is that the OG one back here, right, by the way?
You want me to grab it?
Yeah, yeah. The OG X1 Bros shirt autographed in mint condition.
Here it is, everyone.
Has the old logo on it.
Ooh, that's the back. I think on that one, this is exactly what we autographed on that in the back. So very cool.
Yeah, that's a rare find right there.
Worth
are
millions.
There moth holes in it?
There's this. Yeah. We should probably keep this for the archives.
Yeah, definitely.
that goes in the archives for sure. Anyways, thank you very much, everybody. We got to get that set up on the YouTube channel because we now have products there.
When you watch our videos, you can browse the store at the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah.
We should sell a lot.
What do you want to sell?
Everyone does this. I'm making a joke about it, but we should sell coffee. Yeah. Like, what would we call it? Like
X1 Bros Coffee.
X1 Bros Crack is what we'll call it.
X crack.
Everyone does their own coffee, and they're all the some of them are not the same. Some of them are actually like coffee connoisseurs. To you, I respect you. But everybody that's just white labeling coffee, and I know because my work gets sent these all the time.
Yeah.
And it's all like you literally look at like it's different logos and stuff on the front, and it's all of the same. It's the same packaging, everything outside of the the paint job.
Same
car, different paint job. Guess what happened this week? A big week. A couple big things in the news. Yep. Xbox, but World of Warcraft, back in China. Xbox signed a deal with NetEase, which Blizzard used to have this deal. Next, Xbox just re-signed it and promised partnerships again. So Blizzard is going back to China. That's millions of users right there. Probably future integration with Xbox there. So that's absolutely huge.
You know, what was interesting is when China servers went down, it was actually kind of cool and sad to watch because a lot of players were in Stormwind and they were shooting up fireworks and stuff and just waiting for, because the server was just going to click off at like a certain time. And yeah, so I know there's a lot of people that didn't super care because, to be fair, that's probably where a lot of the gold bot stuff comes from.
Yeah.
But it's still sad that someone like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of regular people that just enjoyed playing the game that unfortunately weren't able to anymore.
Well, they're going back, and I think it's a big opportunity for Xbox, and it's going to be a big deal. I do want to shout out in chat, Silence42 says, know anyone else who has listened from episode 1 and used to write show opens? I do. That's right. We used to take submissions for show opens. Shout out to day 1 listener, Silence42. MMA also day 1. Oh, our day 1s.
Yeah, but going back to Microsoft, that's a huge...
back to what Jordan was talking about before.
No, I don't think... this is a big deal because of, just the influx of money that it's going to bring.
Yeah.
Like, it's a big deal.
Well,
that they're back there.
On top of that, they also, it's this giant foot in the door for Asia. Sony and Nintendo clearly have Asia on lockdown. Xbox having this with World of Warcraft. It's a foot in the door. And I think we're going to see this payoff long term, obviously. But on top of that, they also previewed their Xbox Cloud dashboard update. Mm-hmm. And now on cloud, it's basically your Xbox dashboard, which is super cool. Yeah. Also over on PC, they previewed your games hubs. So you can see all of these. You can see, first of all, Xbox is rolling ahead full steam.
number one. Number two, all of these things are starting to line up, and this strategy is coming into place. I rewatched. I spent 10 hours on a plane this weekend. And
that sucks.
Yeah, let me tell you, it does. It does. I understand why people pay $20,000 for first class.
Yeah.
Because it's hell. It's like escaping hell. It's the get out of hell card. And with my luck, every time I'm sitting next to the biggest dude of all time. Like, I can never get like a petite woman or a boy or a skinny dude. I always get friggin' a linebacker sitting next to me.
Yeah, that they have to have.
They have to, and then I'm like,
yeah.
Hey, sorry, man. Anyways, so I took the time to rewatch, what is it, Power On, the Xbox documentary?
Oh, yeah, they have like a 7-part yeah. series.
So I rewatched it. I've watched it before. This is my second time watching it. And what stood out to me this time really is Xbox really was leading that place. And I was working, I remember this too. I was working at Game Crazy at the time. Xbox really was leading that original Xbox when they jumped in, really was leading the console world. They had an Ethernet port. Nobody else had an Ethernet port. They
were PlayStation 2 had theirs.
They were the first to have
adaption.
Yeah, an adapter, but it wasn't built into the console. It came after the fact.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the first to have a big hard drive in there as well, mm-hmm. built into it. Mm-hmm. They were the first to make it easy for, you know, it's DirectX. That's why it's called Xbox, to make it easy for developers to do. Then you go into Halo 2 comes out, and then you go into the Xbox 360 and Xbox Live, and Xbox led the way with Xbox Live. That previously did not exist on console at all. This ability to play with each other and communicate with each other and play. And they were just leading the way. They were revolutionary in that. I don't think, and then Xbox One came, and we all know what happened with that. And then the Xbox Series X came, and it feels like Xbox is still getting its footing underneath it, you know, recovering a little bit. But I will say right now, it does feel like Xbox is at the time when Xbox came in and was aggressive with that, in between that Xbox One and that Xbox 360 era. That's what it feels like right now to me.
Yeah. Well, the Xbox 360 is really interesting because I really think all the planets aligned for them. Because remember, they came out a year early.
Yep.
So they were on the market by cheaper. Themselves virtually. And then when PlayStation announced theirs, wasn't PlayStation, they announced, what was it, $399 or $499? But it was a big...
It was $100 more.
Yeah, it was. So it was just... The only bad thing they had was the Ring of Death. But because of everything else that lined up, I mean, they just piled through.
That was a couple years into it, though.
Yeah.
That didn't happen until everyone had purchased it. That's why it would have been really bad if they didn't fix it.
Yeah, yeah. And free. Peter Moore, I don't know if he was talking to Steve Ballmer, but he tells the story. He says, look, we can either take the hit and fix it, or you can lose the Xbox brand. Choice is up to you.
Yeah. And then Xbox 360, think about the Xbox 360 era. You had the PlayStation 3, and when you look back at the PlayStation 3, the PlayStation 3 really came out stumbling, and then never quite recovered until late on the end.
Yeah, they finally caught up
on the end, yeah. Both Nintendo revolutionized with motion capture, you know, motion controls, and just dominated.
Well, they went for a whole different market.
They got, everybody got a Wii. Similar to the Nintendo Switch, everybody has a Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. But the Wii at the time, revolutionary. Just like the Xbox 360, Xbox Live just dominated. Revolutionary at its time for console. The ease of access to play online had never existed like that before. And then PlayStation was a little bit arrogant from the PlayStation 2 era, the most successful console of all time, rightly so.
Probably one of the most influential consoles of all time.
And came out $100 more and not pushing the boundaries.
They had their cell architecture, which at first made it hard for developers to develop because it was different. So it was harder for developers to develop on the PlayStation. Eventually they got used to it. Well, I mean, look at it now. PlayStation went back to a regular type of, what would you call it, architecture. Mm-hmm. And then they also had, now correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe there was only one version of the PlayStation 3 that could do backward compatibility. And I think it was one of the special, I'll have to look that up, but I feel like that was a big deal.
Backwards compatibility was a big deal.
Because you could backwards compatible on 360, and you can backward compatible on Wii. We even had the game, the first iterations of the Wii even had the GameCube controller ports up top. Mm. But you know, that era.
That was a great
everything
era.
Aligned for
I
Microsoft.
I feel like we're right before that next era here where everybody's going to be revolutionizing, where it's just the gaming era is going to shift, or the gaming is going to shift, console game is going to shift in specifically, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time. Fallout.
Yeah.
It dropped. The series dropped. I texted you both last night and I said, guys, Fallout is here. Let's watch it. Spicy, did you watch it?
No.
Spicy.
What were we just saying before the show?
You're the dad from Incredibles. Well, why did they change math?
Yeah.
Spicy, in fairness, though, you're a jilted lover.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been burned. You've been burned too many times with the gono.
I have.
And
that's all. I think a lot of people are liking it. David, I think you said you liked it, or we'll get into that.
Yep.
But I just cannot. I can't take anymore. I have nothing left.
The fact that Amazon is doing it makes me hesitant because of what Amazon did to, two shows, Wheel of Time and Lord of the Rings.
Well,
Lord of the Rings, at least.
Don't forget He-Man.
That was Netflix.
Oh, that was Netflix?
Yeah. Lord of the Rings had $1 billion budget, so it was pretty. Had that redeeming
value.
Who
did Halo?
Paramount.
Okay.
No, Amazon, David,
when you say Amazon gives you reservations, I would say every single publisher.
Yeah,
gives
but me no,
but Amazon has but a lot.
Amazon, you can tell, has two writing teams, yeah, varsity and JV.
They have. And they put the JV team on
all
the
stuff.
Lord of the Rings, and they thought and they were
put
varsity.
They put the varsity team on Jack Reacher.
This is what I think they did. They were like, okay, do we use the good writers or the bad writers? And they're like, well, we do have $1 billion budget. Who can mess that up? And so they put the
varsity was working over on Jack Reacher.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, Reacher's an excellent representation of the books. That's why, I do like...
And yeah, crushed it.
They even have, like, little Easter eggs in that show where he's in this news... He's just, like, sleeping there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you got to get sleep when you can. And that's a nod to the books. Mm. He says that a lot in the books.
Yeah.
A casual viewer won't notice that or stuff like that.
It's that fan service.
Yeah. Which is... It baffles me that how can... People miss so much.
Well, let me ask you this.
When all they have to do is respect source material, that's all they have to do. Respect it.
They also have Jack Ryan. Is Jack Ryan pretty... Because you've read Jack Ryan, haven't you?
I haven't watched Jack Ryan.
Oh, you haven't watched it, though?
That's one of my... Here's the thing. That's one of my favorite book series, the Ryanverse. I've reread those I don't even know how many times. And I just have these reservations where people screw things over for me.
But I hear Jack Ryan is similar to Jack Reacher in that they
I would say, because I've seen Jack Ryan, I would say Jack Reacher is better, but Jack Ryan is still good.
Jack Ryan is very solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would really Wheel of Time. Well, you got to think, though,
Wheel of Time was
The
James.
Boys? The Boys is Amazon.
Wheel of Time was a JV scrimmage.
The Boy is that based on?
It's a graphic novel. Yeah,
it's graphic novel.
I've never read the graphic novel.
I haven't read, so I can't give feedback on that. I'm
pretty sure it's not hard to follow. Shrinking down and jumping into body parts.
Yeah.
As a superhero.
No, and I would say like Invincible. That's one where every good show respects the source material. Every bad show, they come out and publicize, we never played the games, and we're going to make this Halo series completely different from the game, everybody, and they're applauding that. Okay, well, then that show's not for me. See ya.
Yeah.
Well, what's good about the Fallout show...
So that's why I don't like...
Yeah, no, and I get your reservations. If Halo... So I watched it last night. I watched the first two episodes. There's 8 episodes total, so I watched the first two. And can I just say, that is the superior model. The Netflix binging model is far superior than week to week. Just saying it.
Yep,
I've tried both.
I agree.
Binging is better.
B&B.
Burn, though, helps with...
Retention?
Yeah, like hype.
Here's the thing, though. I wonder if they tested it, because...
I subscribe to your service for a month at least, but half the time I forget I subscribed and I'm still watching you a few months later versus you slow rolling me, which I hate. Yeah. Because here's the thing. I don't actually binge watch something.
You what watch I it over the course is, of like a week or two.
What I do is I watch like one episode a night over, you know, however many or one every other night. But I watch it at my convenience.
Yeah.
It's about convenience.
Take notes. That word?
Convenience.
Take notes, Disney.
Take notes, bitches.
Because you're the one that does it.
Convenience. But Fallout. Do you want to start or should I start?
Yeah, so I watched... Wait.
What episodes did you watch?
I watched the first two episodes.
Let me ask first.
Yeah.
Can you please not do any spoilers during this discussion?
It actually is going to be very easy to not do spoilers in this.
Okay.
In this because they nail Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
Because since Fallout the game, you're playing as yourself, and there's not really, it's not like a linear story, so to speak. There's factions that you experience.
But that's what the show does.
And choices that you experience, yeah.
So
the show nails that, actually.
Spoiling it just by giving me that information?
How is that spoiling it?
Well, you spoiled Spider-Man by saying...
No, but that was a huge spoiler.
I know, but that was... So this is like, they're giving me choices. I don't know if I want to know that.
No, they're not... No, what do you mean by that? I'm just saying that it's not a linear...
The fact that you asked what do you mean by that answers the question of is it a spoiler?
Yeah.
All right. It just felt very similar to the Spider-Man spoiler you guys did.
Also, I don't think that was a spoiler. I still have not looked. It's a spoiler. Yeah, because I want to... I'm 99% sure that was in the trailers.
I don't watch trailers.
That's your own fault.
And it 100% wasn't.
No, Jordan's right. Anyways.
No, so the Fallout...
Wait, what episodes have you watched?
I've watched the first two episodes.
Okay,
so there's eight episodes total.
Okay, so I've only watched the first episode.
Yeah, so the first two episodes are very good. It starts and plays like the game, which is really cool. And where it's kind of like the game is you're following multiple quest lines. It's an open world... that you're following multiple quest lines. And it's very... They nailed the feel of it.
They nailed
it. It feels like Fallout. The power armor is actually pretty cool looking. There are some parts where it's kind of like, you could have done a little bit better there.
The power armor is cool. And when they talk in the power armor, you're like, wow, that's cool.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they do a very good job of introducing you to certain factions. They do a very good job of giving you mystery. Reasons to watch...
Will we get knocked down?
Not if there's no sound.
We always get demonetized. Do you care? No. Even on trailers, we get demonetized.
But there's no sound here.
They can visually see it. On all the trailers, on all the episodes, we watch trailers. You know what? I'll just throw on some Fallout like gameplay. How's that sound? Is that okay?
Yeah, you could do the game. I think doing the movie is cooler. We get 10 cents for monetization.
I know. It doesn't matter. But maybe
You know what? Everybody, become a member so that we can play these. Because that's what supports us. Not the ad revenue.
That's true.
No. So they do a very good job of the way they tell their story. It's told from different perspectives. It's told from different time periods. It's really well done, and refreshingly enough, the acting is very good. They hired professionals.
Who knew? When you go and get good actors, it really helps.
They do a good job. My favorite actor in it right now is the guy. He's the only big show I know him from is Justified.
Oh, the ghoul.
Yeah, he's one of the bad guys in Justified, but he is a very good. Oh, and the guy from Lost is in it too, and he plays his part perfectly.
What guy?
Lost. The leader.
The doctor guy?
Yeah, the one with the glasses.
Jack? Yeah, okay.
No. The one on the island.
Yeah, the evil dude.
The others,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so him, I like him too.
So
okay.
He basically plays his normal character of weirdo.
He's typecasted?
Yeah, he's typecast.
As an evil genius.
But it's... I was very happily surprised.
Let's play the trailer. Let's play the trailer, Spicy.
Okay.
You know what we say to the YouTube establishment? Suck it. Yeah. We're going to play this trailer anyways.
That's fair. Okay.
But I was watching the first two episodes. I was very pleasantly surprised with how well done it was, especially after shows, you know, like Halo, Lord of the Rings, Wheel of Time.
Yeah.
You can tell, Mark, that they are respecting what came before them.
Yeah.
Now what's percent. That's the actor, by the way, who's very good.
Yeah, he is fabulous.
Now, what's cool about this show is it is considered canon. It is taking place in the same universe as the games, and there is even references to the games, which is very cool. If you are a fan, if you never play the games, you won't necessarily get the references, but that doesn't take away from any of the story. But if you do play the games, you'll be like, oh yeah, cool. So, but it's good. It's one of the, should I say the best video game adaptation? I don't know, but it's one of the better ones for
so far. So I've only watched episode one.
There are a few little things that me and David talked about before that are like, why do you have to do that?
Yeah, but in my
but David prefers it.
Can I say what it is? It's not going to ruin. It's no spoiler. Let me tell you. If you think this is a spoiler, you've got problems.
Go ahead.
You sure?
It is. Yeah. It is. So Fallout is very irreverent. That's the word I would use. Like it has. In a different way, you know how Grand Theft Auto has that humor, like they're not afraid to go anywhere. Fallout has that with like obscure violence, for instance.
Well, no, the violence isn't my issue. The violence they've nailed, because the game, when you go violent. Into VATS, is violent, and that shows in the show.
Super violent, yeah.
And it's like, it's the same type of comedic violence, yeah, if that makes
like,
sense.
Like, for instance, like their heads are getting blown off, and there's like fun 50s happy music playing while it's all happening. Like that beginning scene, by the way, anyways, it's amazing. I really like it. So it's irreverent though. So like one of the scenes, it does seem pointless, and it is pointless. You could remove it, but at least I think it makes sense. There's a scene where they're spanning the barracks of,
Brotherhood
of Steel. And they spent, and you can see just off to the bottom right corner, there's a guy laying under sheets, and you don't see anything. You see his feet. You see that he's covered in sheets, but you also see that he's clearly jerking off. And it's just like pans past him. It's like, what?
Why do you have to do that?
What is happening here? But it's like, okay, it fits the Fallout vibe. Like, it's just,
so David irreverent. David says that, and I think, oh yeah, I remember the whack-off DLC from Fallout 4.
The masturbation yeah, DLC.
No, it's stupid. Like, there's no point to it. Maybe I'm getting older, and I'm becoming
fairness,
a prude,
in fairness,
but I was just stupid.
Hey, in fairness, it was a mod. You never played the mod.
Yeah, I never played that mod. Maybe I'll download that mod after.
Yes,
afterwards. But
so real quick, we did drop a poll in chat for everybody that's listening, and we asked everyone who's here live, what did you think of the Fallout TV series so far? 69% of players have not yet watched it. 30% say they loved it. 0% said they hated it, and 0% said it's okay. So of those who watched it, 100% loved it so far. And that's how I feel. Watching it, you end it. I ended episode one, and I went and downloaded Fallout 4. Because I was like, I have got to get back into this game.
You're
and
not the only one, because a lot, I did the same. I downloaded Fallout 76 and 4.
Yeah,
I did
downloaded two of them.
But a lot of people that I've been watching, because I was curious what people are thinking, right? So general reviews, like a lot of people that I trust on YouTube and stuff, they've all like, man, this makes me want to play the game again. And that's a good
sign, right?
Yeah, that's a good
sign. After watching Halo, I just wanted to kill myself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it didn't make you want to. Look at From Downtown in chat says, I downloaded Fallout 3. I almost downloaded 3 because it's there in Game Pass. Yeah, as backwards compatible. They nail the total vibe. They nail the humor. They nail the intensity of it as well, the goriness of it. They just nail everything about it, and they just keep you in this world, and they give you these nods as someone who knows the game really well, and good acting. Good writing. So far, good filming. Granted, I'm only on episode one. We'll see where it goes from here. But episode one, I give an A+.
Yeah, no, episode one and two are really good. We'll see if it's one of those shows where it's really, really good, and then like the last episode's terrible. And but so far, very
today,
good.
Someone big in gaming, I forget who it was. Oh, Destin Legarry, our good friend over at IGN. He has his own Xbox podcast on YouTube and stuff. He said, episode so far, I can't remember how many episodes he's in, but he said, so far, this destroys the Last of Us series.
And the Last of Us was good. Yep. That was actually one of the other ones that I thought they did a good job from the game to the show.
But see that scene makes me laugh where they like smile at each other, and because it's so Fallout, like this over the top humor, and then you go to the Brotherhood of Steel, and all of a sudden it's like super serious and gritty and badass.
Mm-hmm. But they're bringing in that. Yeah, it's really if you're, it's so far so good.
David R. also said Fallout 76 is really good right now. That's what I hear. I've watched reviews on it.
But what's really interesting is, so B-Boy Will says he downloaded 76 before the show. I downloaded 76 earlier today. Fallout 4 is actually downloading right now for other reasons. But 76 is completely different from what it was. And that's why I decided, like, okay, I'll give it another. Because I only played 76 at the very beginning when it was broken. I came back for a little bit when they did their nuclear winter battle royale, which they eventually closed down. And then I did a little bit of the Wastelanders update. But from what I hear, Fallout 76, like they're saying in chat, is actually good right now.
Yeah.
So, but the reason I downloaded Fallout 4 is because they're coming out. This game is 9 years old, and Bethesda is giving us a new Fallout 4 update.
What is
it? To coincide with the show.
What is the update?
So the update is, on consoles, you're going to get a performance mode, quality mode, stability improvements, bug fixes, just a sweet, you know, like a upgrade update. So on consoles, you'll be able to do 60, what is it, quality mode? Or no, performance mode and then a quality mode.
Okay.
Now, that being said, if you have the game on Xbox, you can actually already do 60 through mods. Mm. And if you don't do mods on Xbox, you can actually already do 60 through FPS boost, which, by the way, are two very underrated features that the Xbox has.
Yeah.
Allowing games to have mods, which is great, and the FPS boost,
yeah,
which is really cool. You go into your settings. But this is just a official patch for that. PC players are also getting a bunch of updates, stability, and all that stuff. What's really cool is they're adding new content. So we're getting a whole new quest line called Echoes of the Past, which is about the Enclave. Now, I think the Enclave is actually one of the coolest factions in the game. There's quite a few factions in the game. In Fallout 4, right? I mean, you have the Minutemen, you have the Brotherhood of Steel, and then the Enclave. You know, so anyway, I think the Enclave is a cool faction, so I'm excited we're getting a new quest line.
Do you think quest line will line up with what we're seeing here?
I don't know. I know that the show is canon and takes place in the same world. I don't know where it takes place time-wise.
It would be cool.
From Fallout 4 to Fallout. Yeah.
Do we know the time?
I'm sure we do. I personally don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'll ask the internet.
Yeah, I just know it is canon.
Because I'm curious on where it would...
We're going to get Enclave weapon armor skins, the Tesla Cannon Hellfire power armor, which looks awesome, the XO2 power armor, and the Heavy Incinerator. We're also getting new weapons, like it's called the Makeshift Weapon Pack. So like a nail gun. There's also a piggy bank that'll be turned into a weapon. Mm. In the picture, they show a Fat Boy launcher with a piggy bank on it, so you know that's going to be cool. But yeah, so Fallout 4 is getting a big update. Now, I think this is a win and a loss for Fallout 4. It's a win because this is awesome. The show's doing really well. People are watching the show and wanting to go download the game, which they're doing. The L on this is April 25th. Why wait till the end of the month?
I mean, you're 15 days away.
Yeah, but 14
days
away. You couldn't have just lined it up?
Well, here's the thing, though. Do you need to line it up? Because people will watch it, and I wonder what peak viewership is. So peak viewership is probably not day one on
streaming
services.
I'm sure
it's going
to be this weekend.
Peak viewership is probably, I would be willing to bet peak viewership is like week two or week three.
Maybe.
Because of word of mouth. Yeah, because of word of mouth. For instance, I mean, look at how many people in chat here are watching it and ended up downloading the game. So it may actually be timed up really well.
Oh, the update also is going to include higher resolutions. As
I downloaded it. But look at this. Look at this, everybody. This is proof positive that when you do something correctly, the impact it has across your IP, across multiple platforms.
Yeah.
How many people in chat are we saying? None of us have communicated prior to this. Jordan did not know that I downloaded Fallout 4 last night. I stayed up late to download it. Mm-hmm. After the show and everybody went to bed. So I downloaded Fallout 4 separately. Jordan downloaded Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. In chat, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that downloaded one of the previous Fallouts there, all because of this. That's the power of doing it right TV series has this ability to go out and get you excited about something or introduce you to something new for the first time or cause you to come back to something if done correctly. And that's what it is here. And this could be a huge win for Xbox. Again, going back to, I don't want to harp on this.
A huge win for Bethesda.
And for Bethesda. I don't want to harp on this, but going back to the Power, everybody, if you've not, go watch the Power On documentary. It's a 4 or 5 part series over on the Xbox channel. It's very good. But what they talked about when Halo 2 and Halo 3 dropped, with especially Halo 3 with the Xbox Live on the Xbox 360, that it went from just being a gaming console to really becoming a cultural moment, a cultural phenomenon mm-hmm. for Xbox. And that really led to, it was one of those things, all these little things to add up to this cultural moment where Halo 3 sold millions just in night one. And everybody was talking about it all over, you know, normal news channels, and became this cultural phenomenon. I think we're watching Fallout possibly become this forever. Everybody's going to know Fallout. Oh, you play the Fallout game? Fallout? Fallout could be Xbox's next huge title. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this did well, though, because Xbox did not have their hands on it?
No, I think it. Do you want to know why I think it did well? No, I think it did well because Todd Howard is the executive producer of it.
Yeah, and so
No,
you're not doing that.
No. This is what I think. Yeah. And I'm sure people are going to disagree. And I know everybody has, ever since Starfield came out, everybody has every which way opinion of Todd Howard. That being said, no matter what your opinion is,
did you say Star Wars? You mean Starfield?
Starfield. Ever since that came out, everybody has all different opinions of Todd Howard and this and that. Now, whatever you think of Todd Howard, good game developer, bad game developer, whatever you think, I think he genuinely cares about these franchises.
If you think Todd Howard,
that's why let me finish.
Oh yeah.
I think he genuinely cares about these franchises, and I think that's why he's involved with the show, and that's why the show is not going to this like way left off path doing its own thing. It's staying true to what these games and franchises are.
Agreed. Sorry, I was going to say, if you think Todd Howard is a bad game developer, you're an idiot. how can you say that? Look at his resume. What he's done recently.
Just because you don't like Starfield.
Maybe you don't like, which I don't believe you, by the way. He's fantastic at what he does. And is the right guy for Bethesda. Bethesda has that feel still.
No, I think he's one of the better game developers. And like you said, just because people don't like Starfield, and I somewhat agree, I think Starfield has its issues, but...
The executive producer of this. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, shows right up on the thing. And that's what I was thinking. Hey, I bet that's why. Because like I said, I genuinely think he cares about these franchises, Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Starfield. And I think that's why it's like, okay, yeah, let's not do that. And maybe do this.
So now the question is, we are familiar with Fallout series. What about someone that's not? How do they respond to it? Well, I watched this with my wife. Granted, keep this in mind. My wife loves dystopian shows. Like it's what, you know, end of world dystopian shows is her thing. And so when I showed her the trailer, she was like, I'm in. But she knew nothing about it and she... is hooked. Like she loves it as much as I do. And it's just very well, you cannot be undeniable. And I think we went through this dark time in movies and TVs, and some of that is still going to exist for a while, where merit did not matter. All that mattered was virtue signaling. The Academy Awards are that if you have X amount of X people on your crew, that's the only way you could be nominated for an award. That's stupid. Merit is all that matters. And we're getting back to that in television. We're getting that back to that in movies. Look at Dune 2. I would just point to Dune 2 for that as an example, or Top Gun. Look at Fallout now. Fallout is, I'm very blown away by it. I think it's good. And it could be this cultural moment for Xbox. Spicy, any thoughts sitting here listening to us?
I know where it falls on the timeline now.
Where does it fall? Yeah, I'd actually be interested in that.
So the bombs drop in 2077.
Yeah.
To give you an idea. Fallout 76 takes place in 2102.
Yeah, I know it's the first one. Yeah.
It's the first one. We're going to skip to Fallout 3, 2277. So that one was 200 years after the bombs drop. Mm-hmm. Fallout...
Best Fallout game there is, by the way. Just want to throw
New Vegas. It was 4 years after that. And then Fallout 4 was 6 years after that on the East Coast, obviously. You know,
Fallout on the East Coast.
And Vegas was West Coast. The TV show takes place in 2296. So what is that? 22 years after Fallout 3. And 9 years after Fallout 4.
Yeah.
And
on, so this, I and think
it does take, this does take place on the West Coast.
West Coast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This, the TV show takes place on the West Coast.
Which is interesting because, how are they going to deal with like the New Vegas stuff?
Well, that's, that's what I'm curious.
Well, watch, so, there's a scene here
that, on the trailer.
There's
that
a scene on the trailer where I think he's walking into Vegas.
Well, so here's the thing. So, in the you're introduced to factions in the show. We're watching it right now, the Brotherhood of Steel. Now, the Brotherhood of Steel doesn't really have a huge presence on the West Coast, from what I understand. They are in East. Well, they are primarily on the East Coast. They are here in the West Coast. My question is, and I'm only on episode two, where is the New California Republic?
See, that's the question. What happened? Are we going to see a conflict between?
And that's what I'm.
That would be super cool.
Because if you've played New Vegas, you know about the New California Republic. If you've played Fallout, I believe it is it in one or two where like the New California Republic like starts their city. I can't forget which one it is, but
On this trailer, I see the Brotherhood come in on like one of their airships.
The Vertibirds, I think, is what they're called.
Yeah.
The big balloon thing from Fallout 4. Yeah.
Yeah, we're watching it. I mean, it'd be...
Dang, where's
what
the...
What does that happen with, like, what is it? Who is Caesar?
And Caesar's Legion in New Vegas?
What happens? Are we going to see, like, the Roman Empire walking around here?
I hope so. Well, you can tell by watching it takes place in Los Angeles.
What does, when she gets out?
It's very...
You can see...
They show...
There are landmarks.
The huge fight in the trailer is the... what's that thing that looks into space in L.A.?
I know what it is.
What's it called, though? So what are those places called?
Clark, like something.
The planetarium. Yeah. That's what it is.
Right there.
That's Santa Monica.
Santa Monica, yeah.
It sounds like this show is respecting source material, is what you're saying.
Look, I'm not going to say it's a 10 out of 10 show.
Well, you can't really say that till the end.
But yeah. But right now, it's an 8 to a 9. It's good.
I give episode 1 an A+.
And I would watch it by yourself.
There's nothing like it's definitely not Game of Thrones, but it is.
Well, you told me about the jerk off DLC.
Yeah,
but it's DLC.
That was a JV writer. Like who threw that? Like, there's.
I think I'm just getting too old.
David enjoys those scenes.
Yeah. So they speak to me. Yeah. No, watch. Here we go. I think this is. It helps me relate to the character.
You're way more immersed.
It's character development, everyone. No, but it's the violence that is.
Yeah, it is.
It's
that over right the top comical.
Where she does the thumbs up to it, if that makes me laugh, because that is.
It's very Vault Tech.
Yeah, it's Vault Tech too, and. It's hilarious. But watch, where is it that you see him walk into Vegas here, which I think is Vegas anyways. Right there.
No, that's downtown LA.
No, dude.
That's the donut that Iron Man sits on.
Can we rewind to that part? And
that
just
was
analyze
the donut
it real quick?
Shop that Iron Man sits on in
Iron Man.
In Iron Man. Okay, skip ahead. Let's see. It's right when he's walking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cuz that donut shop is in LA.
Let's see.
Oh no!
So that's
oh, it might be LA because that is it. Definitely yeah. LA.
Did I go too far or not far enough?
No, I think we're good here. I think
I think you
did go too far. Yeah,
it is right there. See, that's the donut shop.
Oh, that is LA.
You know what's funny? Growing up in California, it's like I know where they filmed this.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Iron Man was right there
eating donuts. With his helmet off.
Our geographical references are all from movies.
Yeah, that's true.
We've not actually been there.
That was downtown LA, wasn't it, in the background right there?
I would assume so.
Well, see, that's what I thought was Las Vegas, just because of the desert and stuff, but I think you guys are right.
LA's in a desert.
Yeah. I think that's LA.
And they're next to the ocean.
Yeah, so maybe they don't go. Maybe they don't.
Good job.
Nefarious Noob says.
There's scenes where they look at the water.
Yeah. Nefarious Noob says, my wife doesn't play games and didn't know what Fallout was. When she saw the trailer, she's dying to watch this now. Yeah, it's highly recommend.
By the way.
Carlos Sanchez, real quick, says, I have Fallout 4, but haven't played in a while. Really enjoyed the side quests and exploring the world of Fallout 4 that I completely forgot about. The main mission of finding Chan, I believe. Yeah, same. Once I was able to start building my place, I kind of stopped playing the game and just built my own fort. Jordan, yeah. By the way.
I was going to say, we just were watching the trailer. There's a scene where the ghoul pulls out his gun. It's a very cool scene.
Yeah, I was...
Who is the main character, by the way?
So, Jordan, I gave... Oh,
Because how they tell their story, there's almost multiple main characters, which I don't know. I like that way of storytelling, because you can almost...
Well, no, she, from Vault Tech, is definitely the main character.
But, see, that's in episode one, though.
Okay, well, in episode one, she's the main character. Now, there are side characters are everyone we're seeing, basically. But I think she, because it, the whole... Because
to me,
the
there's thing, three though, very main characters.
But the whole thing kicks off primarily because of what happens to her.
Well, yeah, well, it's like the game. You start in the vault.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's very cool. But anyways, spicy.
They should have had Liam Neeson, like...
As your dad.
Oh,
yeah, one of the narrate you. Legendary... characters.
So Jordan, I want to know, I give episode one an A+. Is episode two as good as episode one?
I would say episode two is better because it has a really cool fight scene.
Okay, well then I'm watching that tonight.
And all of who I think are the main characters interact with each other in episode two.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Oh, it's very well done, guys. I'm very excited to continue to watch this.
But the thing that blows me away, and I mean... Who'd have thought hiring good actors?
Who thunk it?
Because I feel like there's a few shows I've watched recently again, where they like...
Once again...
I don't know if they're trying acting, to save money.
With acting as well. Merit. It's all that matters. Are you a good actor? Do you fit this role? Are you a good actor that fits this role? Then I want you. In the past... I think in the last 10 years, we've been in this dark age of... Do you fit this role? Yes. Doesn't matter if you're a good actor. No, it does.
Yeah, it really does.
Let me ask you this. So I never played Fallout 3 or New Vegas, and I hear you guys talk about both of them frequently, and I assumed that I thought Fallout New Vegas was considered the better of the two.
No, Fallout 3 is better.
Fallout 3 is better?
New Vegas is good, but it's like it's based upon how good Fallout 3 was.
Yeah. Mm.
And you have those, you know, it's more of that.
I would give Fallout 3 like a perfect score. Let's say a 10 out of 10. I would give Fallout New Vegas like a 9 out of 10.
Do you think it would hold up going back to? Because both of those games are on Game Pass backwards compat.
It's tough. If you played Starfield, probably. because the engine is old.
And it's janky. Fewer loading screens like in Fallout 3.
When you play Fallout, when you play that game, you go, oh, okay. This is a Bethesda game.
Sure.
It's like drummers, like Chad Sexton from 311. You know exactly when you hear his music, that's Chad Sexton.
Sure.
You know, or any one of the great drummers, they have a sound. Bethesda has a sound when it comes to their game engine. It's janky. You know when you play a Bethesda game.
Yeah, yeah. But is the game mechanics, do they work in, like,
I think.
So, for instance, Halo works in 2024, even the first one. Like the game mechanics, point, shoot.
I think the only thing that's going to hold you back is the graphics, really. Because I do think Fallout 3 is the best of the Fallout games. And I think Fallout New Vegas, because Fallout New Vegas came out, like a year afterward, and Obsidian did it. So it's an Obsidian RPG, so it's got their flavor on it, which is really
Obsidian
cool.
Has a distinct style as well.
Yeah, like, but I mean, it still feels like a Fallout game, that's for sure. But I don't know. I think the only thing that would hold you back is the graphics.
Yeah.
Because they're just old.
Well, it's the engine.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of like how it moves with the joystick.
Yeah.
We have improved a lot.
Yeah. So there's gonna. But I also think, and people may disagree with me, but I think in recent years.
Can we look up Fallout 3 then? Let's do Fallout 3 on the Series X. I want to see what that looks like.
I think in the recent years, people have been craving for these not as twitchy, fast-paced games. And I think that's why a lot of people would enjoy. I mean, look at our cycles. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to hear this? I did not know this. Sarah Bond said this weekend in talking about the Xbox. An email was leaked from Microsoft.
Okay. Sorry. Before you say that.
No, you're good.
Fallout 3 does have FPS boosts, so that will improve the feel a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like on the Series X, there might be enough boosts that, like, look, like...
I'm trying to find, like, gameplay, not cutscenes, because this is the beginning. I wonder if...
Go, like, way out of the vault towards the end.
Well...
Yeah, I don't mind...
This is only 40 minutes long, so...
Oh.
Okay, I guess this is right when he leaves, so, okay.
Sorry, David, Sarah Bond.
So, listen to this. Sarah Bond... here we go. Here's where he's coming out of the vault. Here's this. I mean, it's better than World of Warcraft.
So we're watching series. Okay.
Well, maybe. Yeah. I mean,
like, I don't have a problem with this.
Well, I mean, to be fair, sorry, Mark. Go ahead.
The Series X gameplay. I just want to point that out. What we're watching. Series X FPS boosted is what we're watching. Okay.
So this is my question here. All right, because I think that in some ways, like menu systems and level ups, etc., have improved. And in some games they have, in some games they haven't. Is that going to be our case?
I like this. I don't know. Maybe it's because I played this first. I like this way more than the modern tree of skills.
Okay.
I love Fallout 3 skill trees.
Okay.
And that's great. Their menu system is similar to 4 because it's all on your Pip-Boy.
Yeah. So that, yeah, because that, this is, none of this is screaming yet to me, like, ugh.
So. To be fair, though, Fallout 3 takes place in the wasteland. I mean, so it's supposed to look like crap.
Yeah, which is why I think it actually
lends, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's all CRT monitors. Even the Pip-Boy's a CRT. You can see the interlacing.
Now, you could see, like, when he looked down at the rocks, there's obviously, like, old textures. And you know what I mean? Like, the barrier doesn't look all great. But I think this is, doable,
I'm
though.
Like, it's not.
Oh,
it's,
he drank the water.
It kind of makes me, like.
Well, I mean, he can get away
with it. Are we then that
just started?
Now, if you played Fallout 4 first, I do think Fallout 4 probably feels better than Fallout 3.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Because it's less
jank. It's been so long since I played Fallout 4, so I'm not going to...
Now, that being said, Fallout 3 is probably heavily, heavily being benefited by that FPS boost.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure
playing at more than 30 frames.
That's the benefit on the Series X. You get access to all of these upgrades.
See his hands. Like, it's just dull is all. I mean, that actually looks pretty like Fallout right there.
We're watching the third-person view of the guy run now.
Dude, Vault 101 is so iconic.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe let me ask you this, right though. Now. If I could go through this, I wonder how long to beat is Fallout 3? Because
How long? Well, it depends on if your power...
Depends on what you want to do, yeah.
Like, if you want to learn the story and everything, you spend a lot of time...
So, main story... 23 hours is average.
But this is a game like, it's like a Skyrim where...
You get lost.
You get lost, you go through, and I love trying to crack computers. Mm-hmm. They have like a mini game with the computer. I love...
I think that's where you notice faces. Look at faces. Like, that's when you see the datedness.
Yeah, face that, and body movements.
It reminds me of Half-Life from like 15 years ago.
It has charm, though.
Yeah, but I could play this.
This probably came out around Half-Life.
Yeah.
Right? Half-Life 2?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. No, but like, you're going to get, I loved the hacking into the computer and then reading about what happened in a lot of these, because you go into these vaults, you go into these caves, you go into the stuff, and there's some pretty crazy things that went down. And this is where you start to learn about this vault, they did experimentation on these people, this vault did different things with their minds. Some of them were in the Matrix, in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yes, you can power through and do it in 23 hours, but do you want to?
And
you should go and explore and enjoy the stories.
So Fallout 4 is 33 hours.
Fallout 3 is the type of game where you could be walking and you may or may not find aliens. And different side quests and different, you know, there's... Fallout 3 is one of those games.
All right, you know what? I think I'm going to go back and do Fallout 3 then.
Now, the cherry on top for all of this, everybody, especially if you're an Xbox user. One, these are all on Game Pass, which is great. You have all the FPS boosts and all that stuff. I actually purchased Fallout 4 today because you can get the Game of the Year edition, which comes out with base Fallout 4, which I already played, and have, but all of the DLCs, including Far Harbor, which was the big DLC, and the Nuka-Cola one for $10. The entire full game and all DLCs, $10, $9.99.
So for an hour and a half a day, I could beat this in 2 weeks.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, if you do no side quests and you don't do the DLCs.
No, that's plus extras.
What about the DLCs?
It is.
Oh, I don't know that it counts.
I think Fallout 3 had one of the, what was it called? So Far Harbor was Fallout 4. I never played that one, but I heard that one was really good. Fallout 3 had a DLC where you went to like an island, I think, or something like that. That was supposedly really good.
You know what I need? I need a weekend.
You know what's great about these older games too is they don't cramp up your hard drive.
16 hours a day. Yeah, that when I was downloading Fallout 4, it was like, I was
it's
like,
only
do
50
I have,
gigs. You're
I was like,
oh,
do I have enough space yet? It's like 48 gigs. And I was like, yes, I can make it, not 120.
Did you ever think we'd be at a time when I'm actually upset with video game developers for having such large games?
Yeah.
Like, guys, I can't go buy another M2 drive. Come on.
Oh, like size-wise?
Yeah.
Well, that's always been a problem. It was when...
I feel like it was less of a problem.
When Battlefield started uncompressing everything, or not using compressed files.
Everybody was like, they did it.
Yeah, and that was their big... It was a Battlefield 1 or Battlefield 4, where they were like...
I think it was a Battlefield 3?
No, it was
3?
Battlefield 3, where it was like...
Uncompressed audio?
Uncompressed audio. And that's when the file sizes went this big to this big. Overnight.
Listen to this, and Sarah Bond, so she's the new head of Xbox. Phil Spencer is the, what is he? His title's like the CEO of gaming at Microsoft. So he's above all of the things. Sarah Bond sent an email out to Xbox that got leaked. And in it, she talked about a couple things. First of all, she talked about, and she said this publicly before, so it's nothing that we didn't already know, but just reemphasized it, that this next generation of Xbox is going to be the largest technological leap ever in a generation. Ever is very interesting to me. What does that look like?
More hard drive space.
Sure. It's got to be because I don't think that we speed up. I think that this generation technological leap was speed. That was it. Like, have we really seen the benefit of anything else except speed? And speed's a big one. Don't get me wrong.
Processing power, which I think goes with speed, right? You know?
There is, okay, speaking of hard drive space, yeah. I've been reading up on some stuff.
Oh, give it to me, baby.
There is some technology coming out. It's like the same thing that kind of happened with Blu-ray discs and stuff like that, where they started dual layering stuff.
Oh, I see.
A company in Japan, can't remember who, it might have been Toshiba, I'm not sure. They basically, theoretically created dual and triple layering on spinning hard drives. And in one single hard drive, in 10 years, we're going to get up to 120 terabytes.
Well, but our spinning hard, because we're
slow.
All on SSD.
They're slow. Yeah, they're slow. But that's
huge.
On one hard drive, 120 terabytes.
I mean, that's like unlimited. You only need one hard drive. However,
that's bad.
That hard drive breaks.
But couple that with do like a hybrid where you have the flash RAM style or flash style right on top of it, and it feeds to that and then feeds to whatever you're doing. If you can combine that too,
so you get the size and the speed.
That would
be interesting.
120 terabytes and by 2030,
but
that's what they're saying.
The other thing, so here's the thing too, watching Fallout.
Jordan doesn't care about that.
Oh, no, I think that's cool. Okay.
No, but here's the thing, watching this Fallout 3 though, in all honesty, this was Xbox 360, which is, this probably is 2008, 2006. What do you think this is?
I think, was it 2010 that Fallout 3 came out?
2010.
No, 13 was the new Xbox, so it had to be 2008.
Yeah, so like 2008. Let's say it's 2008. Let's just agree it's right around that time. So from 2008 to 2023, we've had two generations. It's a big leap, but the big leap is in the details. It's not in the overall. For instance, going from the Super Nintendo to the Xbox 360 was a very big leap, but that was two generations, like where you completely see.
Super Nintendo was three generations. That was N64. Then I was, because N64 came out in like 98, 99.
Yeah, N64.
Or even earlier.
But then you had the GameCube, right? So
yeah, so that's got to be three generations. So the 360.
But GameCube was the GameCube was...
before
the Xbox. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
it wasn't the Wii was the 360.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. So, yeah, so that's three generations. But now since we're two generations more, it's really just details, I would say. Frame rates, obviously, but as far as the world itself, I expected, because thinking back, you're like, oh, it's on the 360. There's no way I'm going to be able to play this. Look, it's not bad at all. It's like a modern MMO.
On the 360? Well, let's do the earlier iterations. That would be Halo 3 was the 360, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that was 2009.
And it was Gears 1 was 360, correct? Like Gears 1 was close to launch, wasn't it? Or was it a year?
Gears 3 was 360.
Oh, Gears 1 through 3 was 360. All three of them were on the 360.
Yeah, I think Gears 1 was the...
Gears 1 was the launch title. Was the launch title with 360.
I thought it was...
I don't know if it was a launch title. But what's interesting about Gears is people don't give Gears enough credit, but Gears is the reason the 360 has the power it has inside it. Did they talk about that in the documentary? Yeah, they upped the RAM specifically for Gears.
Yeah, Gears showed off the power... At least according to the documentary, Gears showed off the power that Xbox 360 was the most powerful machine, that nobody had seen anything like it. It was the most beautiful game at the time. That game actually holds up. Have you gone back and
so Peter, looked at that? Peter Moore does an interview. Cliff Bleszinski, they came and said, look, this is the crap you're giving us now. Look at what it could be. And Peter Moore was like, all right, let's up the RAM.
Yeah, that's like cool, upped, man. Yeah. That's it cool. But one of the things that Sarah Bond talked about is the challenges that they're facing and that the gaming industry is facing and that they're looking to address. And listen to this challenge. She said, one of the challenges is, maybe I should find the exact quote. Should I find the exact quote here? One of the challenges is, I'll paraphrase this. Basically that more gamers are playing what they call black hole games. So more gamers are playing three or four games only. Fortnite, Roblox, and like Warzone.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
And they call them black hole games, and they never leave. You just get sucked. You never leave it. Yeah. So she said, that's a challenge. How do we, that's never existed before, how do we break out from that and get people away from it? But that's a very interesting challenge that you don't think about. But that's, you want to know why everybody's gone live service, why like there's perpetual games always, and why it feels like we can't keep up with games or gaming and we're always being torn is because these black hole games, like they're everywhere. There's a million of these black hole games.
Well, we're talking about, you know, watching this show, the Amazon's, you know, Fallout. And I'm thinking, well, how am I going to spread democracy if I'm watching
Helldivers, a black hole game? Yeah.
I cannot spread democracy the way I want to. Yeah. I got to do my part. There is no time for that show.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially, they just released some more stuff today. A new War Bond.
Sons.
And some surprise stuff.
And some surprise stuff. That's a game that's doing it.
They're doing it right.
They're doing it right. And it's definitely pay to win. And people are happy with it. Explain that.
It's all about packaging. It doesn't matter actually what you do. It's how you package what you do.
And they mix it with earning stuff, too.
Well, I think that's because you can... You it's can like, argue like, okay, well, you have to pay for the war. I mean, you don't have to pay for the war bond, but like pay to win faster.
That's what,
you know, like it's the way they set up their monetization is why it's
Jordan
not.
Jordan literally sent out a tweet yesterday, and all it was yesterday or 2 days ago. All it said was, there's a new war bond.
You did?
Yeah. I sent it to you too. Yeah, you were in the group. Yeah. I think it was everybody was there. Yeah.
That's all he said.
Well, I'm not on Twitter.
There's a new
war. No, it was a
David text said message. Tweet. Yeah. Okay, text. There's a new war.
There's
bond.
A new war bond.
I mean, that's what DPS, democracy per second.
I think their monetization doesn't feel like they're trying to nickel and dime you. Because you can earn certain stuff in game and you can easily, it's not like what was it like a not Ubisoft or who was it was like, oh yeah, you can get all the stuff in game, but then when you add up the math, it's going to take like 562 years.
So that's the thing though. You know? They include their monetization currency in the gameplay itself.
Yeah,
that's where,
and it's not,
it's minuscule. You get 10. That's what I guess, that's a dime. Yeah, that's 10 cents.
Yeah, every 100 is like a dollar, roughly.
Yeah, so,
roughly.
And you pick up when you pick up those super credits or whatever they're called. It's 10.
I would actually say over the course of me playing, I've gotten enough super credits to buy one of the war bonds without spending any money.
And there are four war bonds.
And there are
There's three main ones,
and then three that are paid for. So I have bought super credits for two of the war bonds. One of them I've earned in-game stuff. So
yeah, but there's not enough time to do 10 cents per round.
Yeah.
If you even find one. But no, yeah, they include... they're definitely... But we're okay with that.
Let me find the exact quote, because the way she put it intrigued me. It was this interesting.
Would you play Fallout 4 again, Mark, with the new update coming out? New quest line.
I would. Yeah,
I think we should. We should all play it together and just sit and party and be like, hey, I remember when we built. This is where I built my first base, and you pointed the guns inward.
That's actually one of the greatest things I've ever done. You still have that save. Yeah. No, yeah. What I did is I took all their clothes, and then there's like this leather bikini outfits and some weird stuff that you can find, and I put them all on. So every one of my minions is wearing kinky leather.
Maybe that scene in the show isn't too far off then.
Kinky leather pasties and a banana thong and stuff and all this whatever. And I found the smallest place where you can build up your Minuteman town. Whatever.
Yeah, the base building.
Yeah, I found the smallest one possible. Then I pointed all the turrets inward. So everyone is in like these kinky outfits, farming and doing everything with all the guns facing inward. I still have the game saved.
You should record it.
I should. I wonder if I can still load it up. I feel like that's one of my greatest creations of all time. Every time I loaded into the game, I just went there and sat there and smiled and sipped my...
Hey, that's the kind of stuff that needs to go on Mr. McSpicy's YouTube channel. You should go take a look back at it.
It's just so funny. It's just funny.
So here is what... So first of all, Sarah Bond, I want to go over this because there's a couple things that are interesting. She said, we have formed a new team dedicated to game preservation, important to all of us at Xbox and the industry itself. We're building on our strong history of delivering backwards compatibility to our players, and we remain committed to bringing forward the amazing library of Xbox generations to future generation players to enjoy. So that's huge. It's a whole team just dedicated to backwards compatibility for the next console here. But listen to this. We're integrating Activision Blizzard King titles into our services. We launched Diablo 4 into Game Pass, and Xbox has quickly become the number one platform for D4 players. We are integrating with Battle.net, all while launching Call of Duty Warzone Mobile and preparing for the upcoming Hellblade 2, Avowed, and Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. Integrating with Blizzard.net. I wonder what happens to... Do we always have the Blizzard launcher? Does that get looped into the Xbox app? I think eventually it has to, no?
It's kind of a big funny.
Draw. You get 14 million people.
And I'm not necessarily against this.
Yeah.
But I think people are very passionate about where they launch their games from. So I think it's a tricky.
You've got to have it. It's got to be no more than two clicks away.
If you got rid of the Battle.net launcher and integrated it to Xbox, there would be a significant uproar.
Yeah, there would.
You'd think to yourself, well, who cares? A lot of people care.
Well, I think because it signifies they're trying to force me into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but that uproar would exist for as long as it's not buried in menus, which it couldn't be. It would have to be front and center, very easy, no more than two clicks away.
So I'm going to be honest. One of the worst places I've ever had to download games was the PC Xbox app.
Yeah, it's not. It's not
the current one or the games for Windows or whatever.
Games for Windows.
Okay, the current one's not too bad.
No. I don't use that.
The current one.
The current one. Well, what do I have to download?
And
I still have a bad taste in my mouth from when I tried to
Games for Windows or whatever it was.
City Skylines 2 is on there.
It was Microsoft Flight Simulator is the game I was trying to do last.
Then that would be the new one.
Oh. Not a very good experience. And if you take away Battle.net so I can't play Hearthstone and I have to go through that system, yeah. See, Jordan's right. I would be upset. And I like Xbox and I like Microsoft.
I think it's inevitable that it happens because it immediately takes 14, or maybe you keep it there and you just advertise the crap out of Game
Pass.
Well,
I think what you do is, for example, I actually don't like the way they do this, but let them launch from both places. Like, for example, EA Play is integrated to the Xbox app, so you can go and download Battlefield on the Xbox app as a part of Game Pass, because if you're a Game Pass subscriber, you get access to EA Play. But what it does is you download it in Xbox, and then when it launches the game, it launches the EA app and then launches you into the game. It's kind of like, why not just put it there?
Yeah, I don't think you could do that on the Xbox
app. I think what you should just do is... if you're going to do it, just take the Blizzard games and put them on the Xbox app.
And you can have a Blizzard, you can have a Blizzard tab.
And we'll just
and then it's just your launcher.
People decide. I don't know. Or just leave it there and bring the games.
So here's the part that I talked about. Sarah Bond also addressed...
Or just take all of Xbox's game and put it on the Blizzard launcher.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of the Blizzard launcher for multiple games because they only have 11 games and it's already like crappy to look through them all.
And I think that
they only have 11.
I can click download and it downloads.
Sarah Bond addressed the challenges facing the wider gaming industry as gaming hours are increasingly concentrated around a handful of so-called quote black hole titles like Fortnite, Roblox, and Call of Duty, where players get increasingly reluctant to try anything new. What's interesting is the phrasing there, increasingly reluctant to try anything new. So it's not just that they're reluctant, but as time goes by, they're that friction to get a player into a new game who's playing those titles is harder and harder over time. That's fascinating. She says at the time when the gaming industry's growth is flattening, ours continues to grow, emphasizing Microsoft's ability to diversify and pivot. It's very interesting though that those black hole games are a problem, that they're increasingly hesitant to leave their games.
That's because they're more and more invested. All it takes is one bad update on Fortnite, and then great planes. Oh,
mechs.
I'll go try Call of Duty.
Saboteur.
and then they just lateral over to another back black hole. Yeah.
So Call of Duty, that I'm sure they're not as concerned about because now, hey, we own Call of Duty. But that's just one example. I mean, and there is hundreds of black hole games out there. So anyways, I thought that was interesting. No, that does us for today's episode, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for hanging out. Tune in next week to find out if Mr. McSpicy likes Fallout or not, or if he took the time to watch it out of democracy. Spreading.
I gotta work on my DPS. Democracy per second.
Democracy per second.
Yeah.
If you haven't yet, guys, join us as a member. It's a way to support the show. You can also rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, etc. Come and join us. If you're here watching live, don't go anywhere. The Members Lounge is happening next. We're going to draw for hats. It's going to be a good time. We talk directly with chat. Those shows stay up live as VODs for our members. So if you miss it, you can tune in after the fact. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one, everyone.